Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, 927 in the Treasure Chest Casino power seat is Marcus Brown, chair of the Super Bowl host committee, who is also a executive vice president and general counsel for Entergy and was named one of the top in-house general counsels for companies worldwide in 2020 by the Financial Times. That's quite an accomplishment. Congratulations.
Well, thank you for having me, Tommy. Looking forward to talking to you.
Let's talk about, you know, I can only imagine when it comes to putting something like this together. You know, if you try to throw a surprise party for somebody, that's one thing. You try to throw a birthday party, a birthday dinner. How do you even, first of all, how do you go from being at the Entergy Vice President General Counsel to chairing the Super Bowl host committee?
Well, you know, it starts with building relationships. So we have a great relationship with the New Orleans Saints, Entergy does, and I've worked with the Saints for a very long time as one of their major sponsors. So that relationship has been there. But we've also worked with the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, not as much in the past, but on this particular event. And Jay Cicero and that group has been involved in Super Bowls for the last four, certainly in New Orleans, and they do an incredible job. So when you take on something like this with a team like that, that's experienced, that understands all the ins and outs, it made the decision to get involved a lot easier.
So what did they tell you? I mean, and I always like the human part of this behind, you know what I'm saying, because it's easy to throw titles around.
Right.
So what did they tell you? Like, it's like, okay, I'll do it. Now, what do I do? Where do you start? Where do you even start on this, Marcus?
That is a great question. When they came to me and asked me about this, and I sat down and I talked to Jay, and I sat down and I talked to the Saints executive team, and my question was, well, what am I supposed to
do? What
do
you want me to do, right?
Is this ceremonial? Should I just show up and, you know, take pictures? But no, they said, look, we want you to be as involved as you want to be. And you know, so we've got 16 different subcommittees that do a lot of the work across the city in terms of meeting the obligations under our bid commitments to the NFL. And I work with teams all the time. And so I decided I wanted to really get involved. So I spent a lot of time with Jay Cicero and his team, and we do all the detail work that you would expect somebody to do in getting prepared for something like this. So it's been fun for me. And it's been a level of involvement that I didn't expect, but I'm glad I've done it.
Yeah. Talk about some of the details that go into this, because, you know, I always give the example, Marcus, that stuff doesn't just happen. I don't care if you had a PTA meeting.
Right.
Somebody's got to set up the chairs. Somebody's got to pick them up, right?
Right.
That's got to be just exponentially more difficult when it comes to something like this, and that's part of what you did?
That's part of what the team...
That's enough chairs, you know what I'm saying.
No, that's part of what the team does. When, you know, I mentioned meeting the obligations of the bid specifications. When you bid on the Super Bowl, you make all these commitments to the NFL, you know.
Give me some examples, like what?
Entertainment venues, infrastructure, parking, all the things that, you know, the host committee has to greet all the people when they come into the airport. All the details around having a good time in the city. We've got committees that are involved in doing that. We have to raise money, you know, to do all those things. We have to help host parties for NFL events. So the big media party that's going to take place tonight, you know, we have to put all that together. So it is a very detail-oriented list of things you have to do. But I mentioned, you know, the Sports Foundation has been doing this for a while, and so it's much easier when you're working with people who understand not just the big picture, but as you mentioned, the details, because there are a thousand little details in everything that goes along with this. It's like planning the party. It's like planning the party for the biggest sporting events in American culture. That's a different kind of party.
Yeah, it's so far beyond the game.
Yeah.
And talk about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, the game is just grown exponentially. I mean, we had the game in 2013. If you think about the game in terms of economic impact, about a $450 million economic impact in the region in 2013. The game was in Vegas last year. That number was far exceeded in Vegas, and we expect to far exceed that number here. And so you've got, you know, hundreds of millions of viewers. You've got social media where you've got billions of clicks on everything. You've got 6,000 credentialed media professionals who are in town for a week. And as you know, you put that many media professionals in a region, and what do? They're looking for stories to tell. And so all the different stories that people can tell about what's going on, you know, the music, the food, you know, the culture, but then all those other things outside of New Orleans, French Quarter, you know, you get in outside of the city and you're really seeing how people live and work. And then there's another component. This is a great state to do business in. And so the Governor Landry has really focused in on the economic development component of that.
Oh, the party, right, coming up?
Yeah, there's a 14,000 square foot pavilion that the state has built, you know, not far from here on Convention Center Row. And we're going to be hosting corporations, CEOs, leaders of companies, so there we can have an opportunity to sort of plus sell or cross sell. You know, this is the state where the clean energy transition is going to take place. We've got space facilities. You know, we've got incredible, talented people in construction. There's just so many things about this region. We got multiple universities right clustered in this area. There's just so many things about this state that are well beyond, you know, what the game brings in terms of the fun. There's a lot of business to be done here as well.
That's the other thing I wanted to talk about, because it's all about networking, right?
Right.
Or you know this guy, and it all comes down to, I talked about the human angle before, about personal relationships.
Right.
This is, I don't know that there's a better opportunity for corporate networking or business development than is the Super Bowl, is there?
I doubt that there is. Every corporation, every major corporation is represented here, and usually by their executive teams.
Mm-hmm.
And
so the people you want to talk to.
The people you want to talk to, the people who make decisions about, you know, where the company takes its strategy, how they execute, you know, where they want to do business next. So it's a great opportunity for that. You know, no doubt there's a lot of fun involved, and that's okay. But as we say, you know, if on Monday morning these people get to the airport and they have beignet dust on their pants and they got a hurricane headache for drinking too much, and that's all they take from New Orleans, we will have failed in our mission. Mm-hmm. So we expect that we will use this as an opportunity to build upon the business relationships and to bring things back to our state that will really help continue to spur the economic development that we've seen.
But having interviewed people like you and your peers, mm-hmm. business is never far from your mind. You talk about beignet dust and hurricanes. That might be part of it, but let's be honest, Marcus. The big guys and the big women in the companies, they're always doing business, right?
We're always doing business. I mean, our involvement is tied to usually what's important to our customers. Entergy is a founding partner, and people have asked, well, why would Entergy get involved in this? Well, anything that helps to bring this kind of economic development to our region is going to help our customers. If it helps our customers, it actually helps us as well. And so we're trying to do whatever we can to drive growth, you know, and wealth development in our region. We're the only Fortune 500 company headquartered in New Orleans, one of only two in the state of Louisiana. We think that it should be more. And, you know, the Super Bowl is an incredible event. We've had 11. You know, we're tied with Miami. But think about this. Two Fortune 500 companies in the state, and yet we compete against New York, L.A., you know, San Francisco, places where, you know, the populations are much larger and the corporate presence is much greater. So the ability for us to punch above our weight says a lot about what we can actually do. Now we'd like to do is expand that and have that help to grow the business region as well. So this is going to be fun. plenty of it in business, hopefully plenty of that as well.
I don't think also the average person thinks, and it took me until later in my life to realize this, how you have to think decades down the line. Right. You can't think a year down the line. You can't think 5 years down the line. If you could, Marcus, talk about that and how an event like this helps position the city and the region in a better way for 10 and 20 years down
sure.
the line.
Well, when you think about, just think about the planning process timeline for the Super Bowl. This was awarded to us, I think, roughly in 2018. So we've been planning for 6 years for this event. And when you start planning for this event, sure, there's the infrastructure. You know, there's all of the details around the city that you want to get done right. But then you have time to plan how this might strategically play well into your strategy long term for a business and for the city and for a region as a whole. So our partners at the city of New Orleans, the state of Louisiana, particularly with new Governor Landry, you know, it's given us an opportunity to really get together and plan on how we want to take this opportunity and try and really capitalize on it. I mean, this is a time in our country where you can find a lot of divisiveness. It can be difficult to put 15 people in the room and have them agree on anything. I have never seen anything more unifying for our business and political community than the Super Bowl. I have every room I have been in, everybody across the region has one goal, and that is to make this the best experience that anybody who comes here could possibly have. Because, one, we want to have number 12, Super Bowl, come back. But, two, we want to get all the benefits that come from having people here. So it has been an incredible motivator and driver of, you know, the kind of camaraderie and the kind of unified thinking that you'd like to see your leaders have. We've seen nothing but that.
And the reason I mention that is that, you know, back in the day, you're from here originally, right?
Well, I've been here 37 years.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you your citizenship.
I don't know at what point, yeah, you can stay, but I've been here 37 years.
No, you can stay because, back in the day, they'd measure Mardi Gras success by weighing the garbage, and they got away from that.
Right.
But the reason I wanted to bring up 20 years down the line, you don't really know the economic impact of this Super Bowl. You might not know for 5, 10, 15 years. Right.
Right. And there are two ways to look at that. You know, New Orleans is a tourism city. So on the one hand, you know, as we grow this city and we grow our tourism base, I think there's some talk about building, for example, the 1,000-room hotel on the very spot of the convention center. If you've never been here, after 6,000 media members tell stories for a week, you're going to want to come here. If you've been here, after hearing all those stories, you're going to want to come back. So on the tourism side, we're going to drive that. But at the same time, think about what's happening in our nation. You know, energy costs, people want cleaner options, people want economic development in their regions. We've got this great opportunity. If there's a clean energy transition, it's going to come right through Louisiana. You know, we've got the pipelines, we've got gas and oil, you know, we've got electricity, we've got talented, capable workers. I mean,
it's not either or.
It's all
monetize
above.
Monetize it, right? That's the point.
It's all above, yep. You know, it's all above. And so I think this is going to be a driver of both our traditional tourism, but also those other areas of business that we really have, I think, an advantage across the nation.
You're a young man. Hang on a second. I say that because, you know, I'm from here originally, and I go back to, I can remember as a young child, Kansas City playing Minnesota first Super Bowl here, then Dallas played Miami, having to go to Belchase, where I now live. At that point, it was the end of the world to pirate a signal off of a broadcast facility in Baton Rouge to get the game because it was blacked out here. Same thing in the Dallas-Miami game. When it comes to Jay Cicero and those guys, have they spoken about just how the Super Bowl has changed and grown so much bigger than just the last time it was here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talk about that all the time. I mean, this has been a huge learning curve for me, but for Jay and his team who've been through this, they've been able to watch incrementally as the Super Bowl has made these huge jumps in terms of viewership, in terms of the number of people who actually participate. The things that make a Super Bowl attractive to the NFL, for example, the fact that the Saints have spent $500 million upgrading the Superdome. You know, so that facility is 50 years old, I think. It was built in 1975, roughly. 50 years old this year. that facility on the inside is roughly a new facility.
Looks brand
so
new.
You think about all the planning. You talked about the planning, the things that people do to make sure you stay relevant and competitive. That's a big piece of it. I mean, that is a huge piece of the fact, you know, the technology in there. There used to be a time you go in some of these facilities and you couldn't make a phone call out. You, like I said, you couldn't call your mama and them.
Well, they used to page you, right?
They'd exactly.
Say, they'd say doctor number 385, whatever it is, call your service, right?
Remember? Exactly. And now the technology has been upgraded in a way that the experience, the fan experience, the food, you know, the venues, the vistas that you can see the game from are going to be incredible. All of those things make the game better, make the game more special, makes us more competitive, and it keeps bringing more people back. It's our, you know, that and our people. Those are our competitive advantages. I mean,
this is the first time I met you, but I can sense that you're a guy that doesn't like to take credit. You're a team builder. You like to give credit to everybody else. But if, after all of this is over, you were to look back and say, you know what, that probably wouldn't have been like that if I hadn't have been involved, what would you say?
No, what I would say is that I'm going to appreciate the experience that I've had. I'm going to appreciate the fact that I've got to work with some really incredible people. I mean, across the region, and from Chevron and Ochsner and New Orleans and Company. I mean, you talk about the passion these people have for this region and this city. That's been really, really enriching for me. But there is one selfish thing that I would like to take away from this. And it's a shared experience, but I would feel, you know, some personal mm-hmm. pride. If we were able to get number 12, mm-hmm. if we were able to get the next Super Bowl back here in New Orleans, I would feel like our team.
You had a hand in it because you pulled this one off so well.
Well, accurate? I would feel like we've done our job on behalf of all the citizens of this region and in this state that we brought another one back here. So that's what we're working to do.
See, I tell you, you don't want to take credit for anything. Yeah. I knew it when he sat down. Marcus, a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure
thank
to
you
meet
for coming
you
by.
Too.
All right.
Thank you.
Marcus Brown, chair of the Super Bowl committee and a senior counsel and vice president at Entergy 944. Quick break here on WWL.